Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday. I know that we could have like a 3-day work week or a 4-day work week, but the magic of Friday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Thank God it's Thursday. It doesn't have the same ring.
No, it does
and
not.
For me, it used to be, thank God it's Thursday, when I had a job I could fake. Because I'll fake Fridays like you have no idea.
Oh, I got a meeting.
Oh, my God. When I was a lawyer, half the time, pretend. I've tried to fake this, but it's much more difficult.
It's kind of hard with these right here.
This is also weird. The ring light... Kevin is exactly in my ring light, so
we're looking
like,
right through a little portal.
It looks like we're communicating through a submarine.
I can see it's through like, the other side.
It's like the portal from New York to Dublin. Have you guys seen this?
Yeah. It's like Romper Room. I see little Kevin. Kevin sees Dave.
Oh. That's funny.
Man, I used to fake stuff. God. Oh. I had two files, the real one and the fake one, for every case. The partner's like, bring me the Mark Scores file. I'm like, grab the right one. Don't grab the wrong one. And the right one, of course, was always fake.
Yeah.
Well, look at all the work I'm doing. You can tell from all the paper pushing out of this thing.
What was typically in the real folder?
Very little. Okay. Very little.
Snapshot.
Very little actual, yeah, a couple of magazines, maybe a comic book.
Kind of thicken it up a little bit.
Chewing gum and a dead frog. Yeah, I see the case is coming right along. Yes, yes. Yes,
you know the movies when they're trying to pass along stacks of money that aren't really stacks of money and they put hundreds on the outside? That was the paper.
Yeah, magazines.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Gosh, what a day, huh? Weird, weird news day. So much stuff going on. Let's start. I'm sure you guys have talked about it a lot. In fact, I heard Michael Kelly talking about it earlier in the day. But the deal with the golfer, Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Rorschach, right? I mean, this whole thing may be taken care of within a couple of days.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm very sorry. One cop was telling me to move forward, and I didn't realize the guy next to me was holding onto the car. My bad. Whatever it happens to be. Then you have people who are like, these damn cops. They are just power hungry, and anytime a cop gets pissed, he's going to run someone in, and, you know, this guy, I don't know.
Think about the logic of that, though. Here's a guy driving a car that clearly has a tag on it that says he's a participant in the PGA Championship.
Mm-hmm. Which is why you're there.
You think that's the guy they want to pick the fight with?
Well, and I think because at that same time, and here's why we don't know how much confusion was there or miscommunication. There were obviously police officers assigned to the PGA Championship, but shortly before the incident with Scottie Scheffler, and completely unrelated, there was an accident with a pedestrian fatality, so way more cops showed up, and then they were kind of blocking different parts of the scene because it happened, I believe, with a transport or a shuttle vehicle, something having to do. It was right in that area of Valhalla Golf Club. So for all we know, Scottie Scheffler thought he was interacting with a police officer who was assigned to work the championship, understood that was a courtesy car, marked with the player, held out his pass, and thought he was supposed to drive around whatever barricade or police officer was there. But maybe that was a police officer who was there because of the accident and didn't know it. I mean, it's crazy because, I mean, he has multiple charges, including a felony.
Yeah.
And
assaulting a police officer.
Well, we'll see what, I mean, there's got to be dash cam or body cam footage of something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if there is, this gets solved super easy. We'll know. Because I don't think anybody thinks that Scottie Scheffler did it on purpose.
No.
Right? Nobody thinks he road raged a police officer, right?
No.
Going into the golf club.
Right. The worst thing he probably did here was... He hit the gas when he shouldn't and went to a place he shouldn't, and the police officer was there.
Yeah.
But I think any normal person would probably be charged the same way, even more harshly.
Well, and there were reporters there, and some of the audio of one of the reporters who was there was trying to identify Scottie Scheffler to the police officer, and eventually they did call that reporter in to say, yes, he is the number one golfer in the world going to the PGA Championship. And one police officer, when the reporter's trying to tell him, that's Scottie Scheffler, he's supposed to be here, the officer's like, well, he's going to jail no matter what. We're bringing him to jail. And I also, the language of the reporting was that the police officer who got hurt attached himself to Scottie Scheffler's car. So I guess he was holding on to it, and that's why he was injured. It wasn't that Scottie
ran into him.
Physically assaulted him. Right. Or, yeah, right. It was that he was holding on to the car, and it went about 10 more yards.
I'm sure police officers, because they have a lot of people, try to run them over. And so when someone is in a vehicle and you say stop and they keep going, you're not thinking PGA number one player.
Right.
You're thinking this son of a bitch is trying to get away from me, or how dare you? Yeah, I mean, we can all figure out what happened, right? It doesn't take a genius.
No, and the thing that really is annoying and revealing about this story is nothing to do with the police or Scottie Scheffler. It's how instantaneously people have made their decision which way this is.
Right.
It's like, you guys, you don't know. You don't know. Why is it so hard to just let it play out? Why is it so hard to just wait and see? Is there body cam footage? Is there dash cam footage? Do the charges get dropped? Does Scottie apologize? I mean, like, can't we just wait and see? Why do we have to decide now?
Good point.
Bad cops, they're idiots. He's just looking for a payday. Or look at that arrogant rich guy, golfer, just plowing through because he thinks he... Like, shut up. You don't know. Why is that so hard?
But you know what, though? I think there's an answer to that. Because in other areas of life and media and facts and opinion, who waits? No one waits.
No, that's really that, like...
I mean, honestly, like we've talked about, if you're younger than 40, you don't remember good customer service. You don't remember this. You don't remember that. You also don't remember waiting on facts. Mm-hmm. You don't.
I mean...
Phoebe, someone who's 19 years old, she doesn't remember that. She didn't live in a time when people did that.
Yeah, and I'm not talking necessarily about the younger kids that are reacting. I mean, I'm talking about grown media people.
But we've got 20 years under our belt of not really caring about the facts at all.
Because if any of us were involved in any kind of incident, what would you want? You would want people to react based on what actually happened, not have an instant take on something you didn't see. Not that hard. Common sense. Although, you know, maybe common sense is hard.
I mean, if the body cam comes out and it really does show that he didn't know the police officer had attached himself to the car, or he really did think that the police officer was waving him on because that's what the police officers do when you're the number one golfer in the world and you're in a courtesy car, all those charges are just dropped, right?
Probably, yeah.
Wouldn't they have
to
be?
Think so.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is insane to think that he's got a felony assault of a police officer. He's got a mugshot now. It's out there.
Yeah. Sure does.
That would be, all of this feels
upsetting.
He was
officially charged with a felony, assaulting a police officer. That's not good.
No.
But he birdied the first hole, I think.
I know. How about
first
that?
First two. It's not, just not jumps as right bad in as P. Diddy.
Oh, my God. Have you seen the video, Amy?
Yeah. No.
It's very Ray Rice.
It is Ray Rice, but I think maybe even worse.
Yeah.
Like, it's same kind of hotel cam.
Literally kicking her while she's down.
I mean, yeah, and dragging her across the floor. It's really bad, and obviously, he's never coming back.
He's never going to see the U.S.
so
again.
Much money. He is never, because the minute he steps back, he's going to be in handcuffs. I mean, this video alone puts him in prison. Ugh. There's no debating what happened there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, thinking about it, like, the argument could be, well, she attacked me and I fought back. Well, no, we see in the hotel, you chased her down.
He sucker punched her.
She was trying to leave, then you sucker punched her and dragged her. This wasn't a case of, like, self-defense, because some guys try to claim that when they're in one of those. And it's possible. I mean, it's possible. But in this case, you're seeing, nope, he's running down the hallway wearing only a towel trying to chase her down. She's trying to get in the elevator, and he catches before she gets the elevator and beats her up. And that's, you're going to jail.
But he's not,
when it's on videotape,
you're going back.
No, he's never coming back. I hope somebody hunts him down.
Yikes.
I don't mean, like, you know, the shooting way. Just, like, bring him back. Get Dog the Bounty Hunter. Get somebody in the Bounty Hunter community. Bring him back.
I've got to take a picture of this, and we'll post it.
Okay.
This is... Just be normal. You don't even have to be weird. Just this, the normal thing is
he
weird.
He is being normal.
This is me being normal.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
It is. I can. It does look like, because I am now. I'm even with the ring light. So Kevin Wheeler's to my right, Dave's to my left, and it looks like they're getting ready to do a trick. Like,
it does.
Kind of like a dog jumping through a hoop.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It does look
something's
like
going to happen.
Yes, it looks like you're getting ready for a trick.
Something cool is going to happen.
Yep.
It didn't work.
Yeah, you tried.
Right through the portal.
So, Rach and her boyfriend had never seen young Sheldon, and last night was the two-part finale, and they decided to have a watch party.
Excellent.
Well, and how'd it go?
You know, it's actually a pretty good show. I enjoyed myself.
Do you regret missing the rest of it?
No.
let's not get too excited.
Yeah, we watched it as a bit. The bit went a little too far, and we ended up having a legit watch party for it. But you know what? Chuck Lorre, that guy knows what he's doing. He did 2.5 Men and Big Bang Theory, and he has billions of dollars, I'm sure, from doing that. And he's done it again with Young Sheldon.
Mm. Would it stand alone like the two episodes? Was it two episodes?
Yeah.
Does it stand alone like a Young Sheldon movie?
Kind of. So, well, I don't want to get into it because I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Oh, God, no.
Don't spoil it for me.
But the first episode was, like, not funny. It was very sad. And I'm like, I thought this was supposed to be a comedy. But then the final episode was, you know, I mean, it wasn't, like, hilarious or anything, but it was solid. It was well put together. I was pleasantly surprised that I enjoyed the watching experience.
I like the bullet point. Rachel Zimmerman, Young Sheldon, sad. Not hilarious, solid.
Yeah. Yeah. You should be more reviews.
Hell of a review.
Sad and not hilarious.
Here's another weird story. This is out of Centralia, Illinois. There is a funeral home there, which sounds terrible. Hmm. And the guy had to end up giving up his license because it was just a filthy pit. And so the new owners of the funeral home were going to move in, and they were doing an inspection, and they found a secret room with embalmed legs. And they were labeled with, like, you know, Ted Phillips, 1967. Like, they went back to the 60s. So this cat had been cutting off people's legs and keeping them for decades. In addition to running a really dirty place, isn't that crazy?
What? I mean, you have to have something wrong.
You
with
would think.
You.
I mean, you're not just a procrastinator at that
point. No, you're ill.
Oh.
And somehow the embalming of it is just.
I don't know, the whole thing of it. Like, if there's a secret room.
Full of legs.
If
yeah,
you have
secret
a secret room,
period.
Good point.
You can stop there. You're already weird.
Yeah,
if you have a
it could be full
room.
Of Keebler cookies. You have a secret room in a funeral home.
The only way a secret room's cool is if it's like a little kid's got a secret room like in their bedroom, like a play area.
Mm.
If you're a grown up and you have a secret room, I'm worried about you.
Do you hear that sound?
Yes.
Okay, so you probably have seen this or heard this, but we had to talk about it. This happened during a committee meeting last night. Marjorie Taylor Greene draws first blood by saying that an African-American colleague's fake eyelashes are affecting her brain. And then AOC jumps in, is defending her, and wants it stricken. And she throws her shade, and then she starts calling her baby girl. And then when they're so apoplectic about the fact that she brought up someone's physical appearance, she says that Marjorie Taylor Green has a butch body. So our Congress at work. Here you go.
I don't think you know what you're here for.
Well, you the one talking about.
I think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold on, hold on. Order,
Mr. Chairman.
That's beneath even
order of your committee.
Order.
I do have a point of order, and I would like to move to take down Ms. Green's words. That is absolutely unacceptable. How dare you attack the physical appearance of another person?
Are your feelings hurt?
Her words down.
Baby girl. Oh, really?
Don't even play.
Baby girl?
We are going to move, and we're going to take your words down.
I second that motion.
So, you agree to strike your words?
Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Green agrees to strike her words.
I believe she needs to apologize. No.
Perry. Okay, hold on. Then after Mr. Perry's going to be recognized, then Ms. Green.
I'm not apologizing.
Well, then
okay,
you're
reserve
not
the right to object.
Words.
I am not apologizing.
Now let's go. Come on, guys.
It's me.
Ms. Crockett.
I'm just curious, just to better understand your ruling, if someone on this committee then starts talking about somebody's bleach blonde, bad built butch body, that would not be engaging in personalities, correct?
A what now?
Jeez.
A what now?
Chairman, I make a motion to strike those words.
I don't think that's
hold
a
on.
Part
I'm
of
trying
enough.
To find clarification.
Went on for an hour.
What?
Yeah.
That happened for an hour, all
yep.
that? Oh my God! Just all of them,
yeah,
just go home.
Some things
just go
should
home.
Be immediately. You should be able to just get expelled immediately.
Yeah, like just like the get out of jail free card, but just straight.
You know the way that if they are our employees, and if you owned a business and your employees got into a fight like that, you'd fire them both.
And you don't get in the real normal world, you don't have to wait 2 years or 4 years to fire the employee. We are like, oh, your solution is an election. Well, you know what? They did it now.
They don't get their pay for the rest of their life in health care.
Yes.
What now? What now?
Yeah, he did not understand that guy.
He was so far behind the pitch.
What
now?
He
had no idea. Butch body.
I felt like that was an episode of like Customer Wars.
Yeah.
You know, people in a Target yelling at each other.
So Hoosier.
Ugh.
I mean, okay, I guess I'll be the outsider here. I feel like Jasmine Crockett, like, saying that in retaliation, I mean, she didn't start the whole war of words. It was MTG. Are you supposed to, and I know on this show I'm always like, you just ignore that behavior. But I mean, if it's someone insulting you to your face at work, are you really supposed to just be like, okay, moving on, or can you say something back?
I think if you say something back, you make yourself the same as her. I understand that she started it and so forth and so on, but you're a congresswoman. You just don't do it. You just don't do it.
It's also stunning, too. Like, there's just nobody in charge that can say, you both need to sit down and stop or you will leave this chamber.
Right.
Like, why is nobody in charge?
Remember the anytime, anyplace cowboy when the senators were yelling?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Bernie Sanders, you got to love him. He goes, stop it. You are United States senators.
Yeah.
And he was like, there was that. Bernie stood up and said, you're a senator.
I mean, Real Housewives of the House of Representatives is not far off, is it?
Oh, my gosh. Exactly. Real Housewives. Get it?
Yeah, that's a good one, Amy.
It's not. It's so stupid.
I will say, when AOC demanded for MTG to apologize, if someone insulted you and then your friend was like, and they have to apologize, would that apology even mean anything to you? Like,
no.
At that point, it's just like, she's not going to mean it, so don't force her to do it.
I agree.
Well, we've all been there when we were seven.
Right.
Your parents like, tell them you're sorry.
And then the Alito stuff, you've seen this?
Yeah, did you guys talk about that at all?
We did not. I actually saw it during the show.
Okay.
So,
Did we get that sound? Oh, Andrew's on the phone. I think we have the sound of it somewhere. But days after January 6th, people were putting their flags upside down as a show of unity with Donald Trump because they thought that January 6th was completely...
it was a stop the steal
reasonable
symbol.
Stop the steal, yes. And so Alito, a Supreme Court justice, which used to mean something and no longer does, had his flag flying upside down, which, first of all, I don't care. I don't care about your clever little, it means this, it means that. For me, you know, you think I'm such a flaming liberal fascist communist? I would never put a flag upside down. I would never throw a flag on the ground. I would never do anything with a flag that shouldn't be done with a flag. How dare a Supreme Court justice do it for any reason? Then this wussy throws his wife under the bus.
Yeah, I didn't do it.
And says, I didn't do it. Mrs. Alito did it because a neighbor was doing something blah, blah, blah.
Almost like what we just heard.
You complete puss. You complete shadow of a man. Throwing your wife under the bus. It's your house, too.
Yeah.
It's your flag as well. You are a United States Supreme Court justice. Maybe say to your wife, you know what, honey? Let's not put the flag upside down today because Gladys Kravitz across the street said something that hurt your feelings. Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX. So I have been very much engaged with Cardinals baseball lately, last couple years, and I'm on a show with Kevin Wheeler, who has an encyclopedic knowledge of it, and I've been listening, and I would now like to prove that I've been listening, okay?
All right.
Can I regurgitate what I've learned from you recently and then make an analysis?
Okay.
So it's my understanding that the Cardinals organization hasn't shaped their own pitcher since Flaherty. And we know how that ended. We don't have anyone in our top 30 hitters hitting over,
in the minor leagues.
In the minor leagues, hitting over 250 or 260. That Steve and I couldn't name the last blockbuster offensive player that went through the Cardinals system. We just couldn't come up with someone.
That they capped. We can name the ones they didn't keep.
We can name a bunch of people who they didn't keep who went on to stardom. pitching and offensively. We are, every few starts, we're doing a bullpen start because
every fifth day, yep.
We don't have a starter in our whole organization that we're comfortable with bringing up to replace Matz while he's out on injured reserve.
They believe, and this is not by reporting, this has been said by Ollie Marmol, and he's speaking for the organization there, not just for himself. They believe their best chance at winning those games is the bullpen start, beginning with Matthew Liberatore.
Okay, so we haven't developed a pitcher since Flaherty.
A starter.
We haven't developed an offensive power since hell.
I mean, the best one in recent years would be Randy Arozarena. But you didn't keep him.
That we kept.
Of the ones you kept, I think Gorman has the chance to still be that.
So how is it not true? A simple declarative statement. We make players worse.
I don't know if it's that, but it's definitely the framing of it that I would put it is they're at the moment not finding ways to get the most out of the players that they have.
Well, let me back
which
that
is,
up.
Which is
we
obviously a problem.
We don't just... We don't just bring in terrible players. Like you said, we bring in players that people outside the Cardinal organization go, that's a good player.
So when so we're talking about like prospects, right?
So
when you're drafting Jordan Walker.
High school success. They've had college success. And then we bring them into our organization, and almost to a man, they play worse. Until we get rid of them, and then they play better.
Yeah, I don't know that we can say play worse because we don't always have a comparison, like Jordan Walker played worse compared to what? To high school, it's not the same thing. But it's a legit concern, and I think, if you're just trying to be cold, hard, and calculating about it, why aren't your players, not just your young players, but even some of the guys coming in, why aren't they having their skills maximized? So as an example, Jack Flaherty leaves here. He goes to Detroit. He's now suddenly throwing 96, 97 with regularity and throwing more strikes. And now there's an element of this that is on the player. Did the player resist? Did he resist it when he was here and embrace it there because he got into free agency and found, wow, nobody wants to give me a long-term contract.
See,
so
that's my point.
That's the thing we don't know, but it doesn't matter really, right?
That's
what matters
point
is what's happening.
That I argued with you and lost or gave up. And
yeah, that's
then,
more accurate.
Skip Weber was kind of arguing with you the other day that if it's hit and miss, you go, well, yeah, it's hit and miss. If it's, for the most part, our players develop well, and every now and then we have a dud. But when it's like this, how is it not systemic? And it could be any number of people to blame, and probably all of them.
Yeah.
But how it almost has to, by definition, be systemic when it's both offense and defense.
Here's so broad strokes, obviously, what we just described is clearly happened. Right? Like the last legitimate proven star developed by the team from within that they kept might have been Albert Inyati.
Yikes.
I mean, like, could have been Oscar Tavares. We don't know. He passed away.
Who both retired after long careers.
Yes. And those are also different level. Like, you don't get those guys but once every 20, 25, 30 years, right? Those are Hall of Fame players.
Two generational players.
Right, right. And that's a part of it. And we don't know yet. The book is out on Nolan Gorman and Brendan Donovan and Lars Nootbaar. If they have a good finish to the year, they might be exactly at the end of the year where we thought they would be. Remember, this time last year, Wilson Contreras had horrible numbers. His offensive numbers stunk. At the end of the year, he actually had one of his better major league seasons. So to judge fully those particular players, we have to wait and see how it goes. But we're not really talking about those guys. We're just talking about from the past to the beginning of this year, right? If you just say, okay, the book is out on your current guys. The book is out on Mason Wynn. So far, he looks pretty good, but the book is still out on him. The book is out on Jordan Walker. But we're also talking about the lead up to this. So if you look at the pitching staff as an example, I'm looking at their major league roster right now. The one guy on that roster that is drafted and developed by the Cardinals and brought to the major leagues is Ryan Helsley. Now, they drafted and developed Lance Lynn, But then he left and came back. He's here now because he was a free agent.
Yeah.
He's not here now because he's been there all the time. But even if we give them credit for that, Ryan Fernandez is from Boston. Kyle Gibson is from several other places, free agency. Sonny Gray is from free agency. John King is from a trade. Andrew Kittredge is a free agent. Matthew Liberatore was a trade, even though he was still a prospect. He was a trade. Nick Robertson was a trade. Ryan Fernandez was Rule 5, not a trade. Jojo Romero was a waiver pickup. You know, like, you're looking at the team, and you're like, where are the homegrown pitchers? And then the homegrown star players have been hard to come by. Now, again, maybe Gorman's going to be that. He's only 24 years old. If he becomes a 30-homer-a-year guy, that will answer that question to some degree. But as we sit here now, these are the questions that I'm asking and everything. I think everybody around the team is asking, like, what happened? Because the Cardinals' reputation forever was, you guys ever hear of Cardinals' devil magic? You ever hear that phrase?
Yeah.
That's what all of the fans of other teams in the National League would say about the Cardinals, that they have this devil magic. They're always finding some random guy that nobody's ever heard of that comes in and is good. It was Tommy Edman. It's been Brendan Donovan recently. It was Lars Nootbaar. Nobody ever heard of Lars Nootbaar. Now, all of a sudden, here you have this player. It's been different guys throughout time where everybody's like, who's that guy? And, wow, he's good. And the other thing they always did was there was always a pitcher coming. You know, whether it, you know, started going back to 06. You can look at the interim period years that starting from there until about 2017, 2018, where it was a new guy every so often, right? In that mix, there was Lance Lynn showing up and Michael Wacha and Carlos Martinez and Jaime Garcia and Jack Flaherty and Dakota Hudson. All these guys periodically would show up, and it was every year or two, and they were good pitchers who made your team better, making the minimum salary. And they haven't had one of those as a starter since Jack Flaherty.
Do you believe in bad luck, and do you accept that this long run of it is valid, that it's just bad luck?
Well, this is, you know, so here's the chicken or the egg question, right? Or not the chicken or the egg, but this is the million-dollar question. I'm not answering this as if I have the answer because I don't know. Are we overreacting to a year and 2 months of a team being crappy? Like, were you due for it? I mean, at some point, are you going to do it? Or are we looking at a disturbing trend that needs to be changed dramatically? Like, the way you're doing, and it's hard to know because we saw 20 years of success, and now you've seen 2 years in a row, and this year's not over yet. So again, we allow for the possibility it can change.
Yeah.
But you have 6 months of last season and almost 2 months of this season that have looked like this from a record standpoint. Is that a sign that it's going that way, which is what I think a lot of people believe, or is it an aberration?
Yeah.
I don't think we have a good answer, but I don't know that the answer one way or the other matters right now. What matters right now is how do you fix it?
My gut feeling is the reason why fans are so discontent is because whether you are winning or whether you are losing, you have to feel like those in charge have a plan or a purpose, and it doesn't feel like there's either. I'm not saying that's fair. I'm just saying it, like, are we rebuilding? Are we not rebuilding?
But it's fair to say that.
Are we just trying to find some guys? And I think I feel like the average fan feels like there's no plan right now. Like, we've even had some people comment, like, I'd be in for a full rebuild, or I'd be in to be competitive right now, but I can't tell where we are.
Well, this is the problem, which one it is doesn't really matter. I can assure you guys there's a plan, but all that matters is it's not working. It doesn't matter if you have a plan, but when you're bad, it looks like you don't.
Well,
so when you're a team, you get the reactions. Like, if you look at this team, I wonder if you guys would agree, Dave, I think you do, that you look at them and they look lifeless. So many days they look lifeless. Well, that's what it looks like when you don't hit. When you don't hit, you look lifeless because nothing's happening.
Well, that's true.
And could it be that they are lifeless in their approach? It could be, but it is what we know for sure is the lack of production makes it look that way, whether you're trying hard or you're fiery or not.
But even before the lack of production, even before the season started, I think fans feel a little bit uncertain, not confident, because you say, okay, so was Lance Lynn the plan? Was that the plan, Kyle Gibson? No, I'm not trying to knock them. I'm just saying that was
Well, Sonny was the main part of the plan.
But why it feels a little bit confusing to Cardinals fans, because it doesn't feel like a strong move. Here's what we're going to do to fix this now. It feels a little middling.
Great news. We got Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson.
But here's the thing, though. That part of the plan has worked. Everything else fell apart around it, which is the weird part.
Which is why I come back to the bad luck.
Yes, it's the weird part.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to you. Somehow it doesn't feel like a real show. In a good way.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel any pressure.
Yeah.
So look out.
Talking.
That's not good.
Here we go, Rogue Dave Glover.
Rich took me to a new coffee place today, and they have a restaurant called Idle Wolf, and they have an 8-foot-tall pink wolf. And I took a picture of it and sent it because he's the master of wolves. Then Wheeler's like, "What's this?" I'm like, "What do you?"
It's a wolf, dude.
I know. Talking about what's this?
But it's a big pink wolf that looks like a crayon.
Yeah, here's the thing.
I was wondering what it was.
You don't accept all wolves?
I got to see him wrestling in real time with, "Whoa, cool, a wolf," and for girls, pink.
I did not say that, Andrew. So do not lie.
I'm sitting there. I'm in the little side studio room. He's out at in front of his computer at his desk area.
And he goes, "Lying on me."
And he goes, "What the blank is this?" And I go, "What's the matter, buddy?" He goes, "This picture."
I did not say that.
You screamed.
I went, "What the hell is that?" That's what I said.
Do you think Wolf Blitzer looks kind of like a wolf?
No.
Yeah. Michael Kelly pointed that out
Wheel
to me.
Says no.
No? Everyone here
does
says
he have big
yes.
pointy ears? Does he have a tail? Then he doesn't look like a wolf.
When you
want to befriend him? No.
No.
Would he let me pet him on the head? No. Well, actually, that would make him more wolf like. They don't like it when you pet him.
Don't they? I don't know.
Well, if they don't know
wolf,
you.
Wolf isn't wolf like because he likes being petted now?
I don't know.
When Dave said he was going to talk baseball. He's like, I'm gonna talk baseball because now that I'm on a show with Wheeler, my first thought was, what show? Like, I thought you had
a new show.
Is there a new show?
A new show with Wheeler?
Is it a baseball show? Is that
the Wolf?
Oh, what would you want your nickname to be, Dave? It'll be the Wolf and the Eagle, maybe?
Oh boy.
You're the Eagle?
Yeah.
Whatever you'd like to be. The Wolf and
I feel like I'm 8 years old again, meeting the kids. Yeah. If I'm going to have a nickname, I have earned Ramjet.
Should we call it Ramjet 2?
The Wolf and Ramjet.
He gets to be the Wolf, and he can't even be Ramjet 1.
You notice he just assumed he's the Wolf. So.
Yeah. He took the Wolf. He's like, I'm taking the Wolf, obviously.
I'm really
getting
vibes from Dave. Like, no, I could never be on a show with Wheeler.
No, not alone.
You really rethink that?
Definitely not alone.
This is completely apropos of nothing, but I just realized where my claustrophobia started. Do you guys remember about 20 years ago, maybe even a little more, they were doing those body wraps?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Remember
like
that?
Spa?
Yeah.
Spa body wraps?
Yeah, like a mummy.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was like, you're going to be 8 inches smaller everywhere. Well, we were going on vacation and went in to do one of those, and I was fat, and I'm like, oh, within an hour, I will be not fat. And it was the worst experience of my life. It is so claustrophobic. It's really? Absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
And I was just laying there dying slowly. And so finally, after like 40 minutes, I'm like, I can't do it. So I got up, and I mummy walked out, and I'm like, murr, 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 and they let me go. And I was still fat, maybe fatter. Now I just have like all these lines across my body.
You look like you were laying on a lawn chair.
Yes. It was
those vinyl lawn
worst
chairs.
I've ever looked. Like I was fat and naked and been whipped or something. So,
it's like,
which is fine, but I mean,
but it wasn't even a Saturday.
Like, yeah, not if it's artificial.
Nothing wrong with it.